quality, resulting in less runoff and erosion. This allows more recharging of the groundwater supply. Wooded areas help prevent the transport of sediment and chemicals into streams.
Trees can boost the market value of your home by an average of 6 or 7%. Landscaping, especially with trees, can increase property values as much as 20%.
The net cooling effect of a young, healthy tree is equivalent to 10 room-size air conditioners operating 20 hours a day.
Did you know trees can add value to your home, help cool your home and neighborhood, break the cold winds to lower your heating costs, and provide food for wildlife? So plant a tree. It will help you and everyone else.
This message brought to you by the students of Murphy Junior High School.
My God, I used to go to that school. Okay, it's 6 o'clock straight up on Tuesday evening. Time once again for the CD machine not to work. No, of course it's going to work this time when I call it. Time for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. And this week I'd like to take more phone calls, as we always tend to leave those for the end, you know. And it'd be nice to sort of have more back and forth, because there's been a lot of forth lately, but not enough back because of all the things that have been going on. But conference is over now. We can rest, we can relax, and just watch all the chaos and mayhem unfold in Boston and New York in the weeks ahead. And don't forget Athens, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's a summer of activity here on planet Earth. And, of course, leading up to the election in November, boy, it's going to be one eventful year. And we'd like to hear all kinds of feedback, ideas, opinions, that kind of thing, because that's what it's all about. You notice how people seem to be afraid to say what's on their minds lots of times? I don't know why that is. But it's nothing to be frightened of, you know, whether you're with your family, your friends, at school, at work. No matter what your opinions, you shouldn't be afraid to voice them. Not, you know, leaning over somebody and pinning them into a corner and voicing them. I mean, you know, just not keeping them to yourself. Things you believe in, things you want to speak up for. And you can use this program as your first step. All right, let's start by taking a look at the news. And by the way, our phone number for future reference, taking phone calls in just a little while, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. So, what's going on in the news today? Former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger is stepping down. Yes, he is the first victim. He's stepping down as an informal advisor to John Kerry's presidential campaign. I've been seeing this story developing over the past couple of days. I was wondering why, and now I see why. So that it can be linked to Kerry. Now, Sandy Berger, who's Sandy Berger? He's the former national security advisor to Clinton. And he's being investigated now as part of some kind of criminal investigation for taking top secret documents in preparing for his hearing in front of the 9/11 Commission. Now, Sandy Berger claims it was just sloppiness. And I've heard reports that these are things like handwritten notes. It makes you wonder, though. Somebody had to know that he took the wrong thing, and somebody had to be ready to jump. And when they jumped, they brought Carrie into it. Well, Carrie already was in it because Sandy Berger was an informal advisor to him. But I was wondering, you know, this seemed like an honest mistake. It's just from the way it's being described, from all sides. I mean, what are we saying here? The National Security Advisor is going to be distributing top-secret information to the enemy? It just seems a little strange, a little far-fetched. The idea that maybe he just took the wrong papers. Why wasn't there oversight to ensure that he didn't take the wrong papers, you know? So the ferocity with which they're going after him is explained by the link to Kerry, so now I understand. Now I see where this is going. Anyway, as you mentioned, Berger is the subject of a criminal probe into the disappearance of classified documents dealing with the 9/11 attacks. His lawyer says Berger doesn't want the probe politicized. Well, it's kind of late for that, isn't it? A new poll shows that most Americans think the government is doing a good job protecting against another terrorist strike. But the Pew Research Survey also shows the majority of people believes the U.S. is just as vulnerable to an attack as before 9/11. I love these polls. Iran's foreign minister is dismissing any American suggestion that Iran may have had a role in the 9/11 attacks. He added that Al-Qaeda elements could have illegally crossed over the Iranian border, but that doesn't mean they had Iranian support. It's amazing they have to say that, but I guess they do. A top U.S. military commander is criticizing the early withdrawal of Philippines troops from Iraq. The troops left to meet a demand by Iraqi militants. U.S. General John Abizaid says it's a mistake to appease terrorism, and nations that do may fall victim to terror themselves. Of course, nations that don't also may as well. At least we'll do so with honor. Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan offered a fairly upbeat assessment of the economy today. He spoke to concerns about a June dip in economic activity, saying that July growth already seems to be rebounding. I've noticed that. Have you noticed it? July growth is rebounding. I see it on the streets. I see it in people's faces as they pass by me. It's glorious. Anyway, he added that the Fed will raise interest rates if inflation suddenly worsens. The economy is one thing I will never understand, and I don't think I ever want to. All right, what else is going on? Okay, this story disturbs me. No end. I mean, this is simply unbelievable. Have you heard about this? Linda Ronstadt thrown out of a casino in Las Vegas for daring to dedicate a song in her performance to Michael Moore. This is simply unbelievable. What happened was she was giving a performance at the... where was this? Hang on, I'll find out. At the Aladdin Hotel Casino. Yeah, Aladdin Hotel Casino. She basically said she wanted to dedicate a song to a great American patriot and certainly the man of the hour, Fahrenheit 9/11 filmmaker Michael Moore. And she received a fiery response in return. Half the crowd heartily applauded her praise for Moore, the other half booed. And it went on from there. Then a bunch of fans, I guess, if you want to call them that, went around ripping down posters and causing all kinds of vandalism. Nothing happened to them. But she got thrown out for daring to express an opinion. Unbelievable. She was escorted out of the hotel off the property. And the hotel said that there was no place for political views and feelings. Now, I wonder if she had actually gone on stage and tried to dedicate a song to our brave troops fighting overseas, would she have been escorted off the premises then? I mean, does anybody think that would have happened? And just because a bunch of goons, which is what they are, go around causing destruction and venting their anger, is that a reason to react in that way and throw somebody out simply for expressing an opinion? It's pretty unbelievable, pretty shocking to me. And if I were to go to Vegas, which I will not, because I think it's a vile place. I mean, it's fun to go to once or twice, maybe, but don't get me started on. I mean, this typifies it right here, you know, this way of dealing with people who express an opinion. How dare you express an opinion? We're here just to gamble. And, you know, show mindless obedience to the state, that kind of thing. Step out of line and you're in the parking lot. But if I were to go to Vegas, I would certainly bring as much political thought as I possibly could, just to annoy these people. How dare they? How dare they say, you're not allowed to talk about this? You're not allowed to express an opinion? And who are these people that go around shutting down those they don't agree with? You know? How many times do those of us on the fringe, as Fox News might call us, how many times do we simply nod politely or tolerate, as we should, other opinions that we may find offensive? Not to our liking. Well, we do it all the time. But it's a two-way street. And people need to learn that. And I think the only way to learn that is to be a little more forceful, be a little more upfront with what it is we believe in, no matter what that may be. And of course, we don't all agree with each other. And that's another problem. That's another problem we always have. When we don't agree with each other on certain things, we condemn people for everything they believe in, even the things we do agree on. Even already, I am seeing people condemning Linda Ronstadt because she didn't step up enough during the apartheid period. So therefore, she's a hypocrite for doing this now. Oh, come on already. Same thing you hear with Michael Moore. He once set foot in a non-union border shop or something crazy like that. Therefore, he doesn't have the right to speak out against workers being oppressed. I am so sick of this holier-than-thou attitude that seems to pervade the left. Well, you have to be perfect. You know, you have to be somebody that has never, ever done anything contradictory or something that, you know, may have in some way been seen as an offense against somebody somewhere. You know, people are imperfect. People make mistakes. People contradict themselves all the time. People are hypocrites by default. So if somebody says something you agree with, let's not, do the whole Dun and Bradstreet on them. Let's just say, yeah, I agree with what you're saying now. I don't know about your background. I don't know if your grandfather was a slave owner. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you're saying now. What matters is where you're standing right now. So, those people who aren't happy with Linda Ronstadt's past, whatever, it's got nothing to do with this. What matters is what happened Saturday night, where she got booted out of a casino for expressing an opinion. And because some unruly fans decided to start terrorizing people and got their way. So, if you find yourself going to Vegas, make as much noise as you can. Show that town that there is indeed room and desire for opinions, thoughts, and yes, maybe even controversy. And that kind of thing will not be shut down by anybody. And that's what we're going to have to face here in New York in a few weeks. And next week, my God, is it next week already? The Democratic Convention in Boston? Whew. I haven't decided yet whether to head up there and have a little bit of fun in the free speech zone. But here's the thing I really would like to know. In New York, that's where most of my attention has been focused because it is New York after all. There is this whole running battle going on between the police and and demonstrators before anything even begins, as to whether or not they will be allowed to protest. Now, you know, to me, that just makes no sense at all. Since when did we have to ask permission to protest? The whole concept just simply baffles me. I don't understand why people play by these stupid rules in the first place. As soon as you start asking permission to do things, somebody's going to say no. So, yeah, police department, please, can we protest outside in the streets? No, you may not. Well, our rights have been stepped on. We're being oppressed. Yeah, you are, and you fell right into it. Now, one of the things that is a very controversial part of the entire Republican convention upcoming is the application to have a big demonstration in Central Park. Now, of course, the city comes up with all these crazy excuses saying they care about the grass. All these people are going to ruin the grass. You know, when they have their concerts in the park, somehow the grass doesn't suffer then. They don't care about it as much. But now they care about it. And any number of reasons that they will also give just to say no. Now, you know, it's a perfectly logical place to have a demonstration, certainly during the Republican convention, especially if they don't want people near the convention, because that's not even near the convention. But they'll come up with all kinds of different reasons. My question, though, is how do they stop people from demonstrating? How are they going to stop me, for instance, from going there and standing in the middle of the field and saying whatever I have to say or holding a sign? And then multiply that by tens of thousands of other people. Oh, yeah, we don't have permission to do it. But what if we do it anyway? What if we do it all as individuals? Are they going to close all of Central Park? Are they going to close the entire city? Can they actually do this? Will they try? And I don't see this kind of response. I see it being legitimized. Well, we're not allowed to do this now. We can't do this because we're told we can't. And I think that's part of the problem, is that people accept this. There are many countries in the world that we watch in the news as they struggle with various issues. And they make changes. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better and then for the worse. But in those cases, you can bet they're not asking permission to do it. They're standing up there, walking down their streets. And somewhere we lost sight of that here. Like I said, it's going to be an interesting summer, and it starts next week in Boston. And I guess a week from today it'll be happening. So we can probably report something, or maybe I'll even be there next week at this time. Who knows? If I'm there, obviously I won't be here. So I guess tune to your radio dials and we'll find out. All right, what else is going on? There's always something happening. Oh yeah, this story. Good God, here we go. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger mocked his opponents in the California legislature on Saturday as girly men and called upon voters to terminate them at the polls in November if they don't pass his $103 billion budget. Using tough rhetoric that borrowed from his days as a bodybuilder and movie actor, the governor said lawmakers are telling lies and are back to their old habits after a post-recall burst of bipartisan collaboration. Democratic lawmakers, gay rights advocates, and feminist groups bristled over the governor's comments, which were greeted with sustained applause by hundreds of people who were invited to the rally through automated phone calls put out by Schwarzenegger's camp. That's a great way to get invited to something. The governor used the girly man reference twice in the span of a 16-minute speech aimed at pressuring the legislature to pass his budget, now 17 days late. The remark is a reference to an old Saturday Night Live skit parodying Schwarzenegger. It's a parody of Schwarzenegger, and he was using it as a kind of homage to that, I guess. Comedians Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon played pumped-up bodybuilders Hans and Franz with thick Austrian accents. Anyone without a muscled torso was dismissed as a girly man. Though the four leaders in the Senate and Assembly are men, women chair some of the legislature's most influential committees, ranging from appropriations to energy. Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunes, a Los Angeles Democrat, said, "Those are the kinds of statements that ought not to come out of the mouth of the governor." The governor's pugnacious turn raised objections Saturday, with the girly man reference becoming the focus. "It's really painful to hear the governor resort to such blatant homophobia," said Senator Sheila Krull, a Democrat from Los Angeles. You know, this is where I have to part ways. I'm sorry. I just don't see this as an offensive issue in any sense. I just don't. It's a joke. It's a reference to a Saturday Night Live skit, and people weren't offended then. And I think this is the kind of thing that the Democrats will use and annoy enough people to actually lose what could be the easiest election for them to win. I mean, there are plenty of examples of homophobia and outright racism I'm sure we can point to with Schwarzenegger. This is not one of them. This is just a joke. People need to stop being so sensitive about every little thing. Calling someone girly, I mean, you know, this kind of thing would get laughs on TV by the same people that are saying, "Oh my God, this guy said something horrible." Well, if the thought behind it was something horrible, focus on that. But just these words, it makes me cringe to see this kind of thing being used as an election issue. You know, this is what the Republicans do. These are the words they say. Girly men. Come on, we can pick so many better things that they say and do than this. I'm sure I'll be condemned now. Nobody will ever agree with anything I have to say again because I said this, but well, it's just, it had to be said. My fair and balanced perspective, yes. Speaking of fair and balanced, this is something just happening now. Fox News' use of that slogan, fair and balanced, constitutes deceptive advertising. That's according to two political advocacy groups who claimed this on Monday in a petition filed with the Federal Trade Commission. LiberalMoveOn.org and historically nonpartisan Common Cause assert that Fox News' reports are deliberately and consistently distorted and twisted to promote the Republican Party of the U.S. and an extreme right-wing viewpoint. Alleging consumer fraud, the complaint calls for the FTC to order Fox News, consistently the highest-rated cable news network, to cease and desist from using the slogan. I don't know, you know, I'd miss laughing at it. A Fox News spokeswoman told the Associated Press that while this is clearly a transparent publicity stunt, we recognize all forms of free speech and wish them well. James Kaminsky, a former FTC lawyer currently practicing advertising law, sees little chance for the petition, noting that the FTC does not wade in political waters. Whether Fox is biased or not, it's a freedom of speech issue. But Shelley Pingree, president of Common Cause, said the legal actions were consistent with the First Amendment. Fox has no obligation under the law to be fair and balanced, just not to market itself as fair and balanced. You know, even I see trouble with this. I mean, CNN calls itself the most trusted name in news. How do you gauge that? How do you gauge trust? That's not part of the Nielsen book. After a press conference announcing the petition, members of Move On and Common Cause marched to the Fox News headquarters to hand out DVDs of the recent documentary Outfoxed, which I haven't seen yet. It alleges a pattern of right-wing biases in the network's reporting, citing statements by former Fox employees and internal memos. I did see a documentary yesterday, though, called The Corporation, which is playing at the Film Forum in New York. That's a really good film. It's too long, in my opinion. It's 2.5 hours long. And I was tired anyway, so I guess I kind of added to it. But you learn a lot about how corporations are set up, what they can get away with. And there's definitely a section on Fox that would be interesting to most people, I think, on how a particular story was squashed because it might offend the corporation someplace. Even though the facts bore out exactly what was said. And you may have heard of this this story of a couple of Fox reporters who stood up to the network and tried to report their story. So, there's a lot that that you have to overcome in this day and age, and I recommend that film so you can learn exactly what people have to face down these days. One thing that I thought was really interesting was how corporations, as we all know, are seen as people, individuals. They have the same rights. But if you do a medical analysis of the corporation, and you see that it has no conscience, it doesn't feel responsible for its actions, and you just go on for about six or seven more such categorizations, the psychological diagnosis of that individual when you are finished is that of a psychopath. And I thought that was well done. There's a bunch of documentaries floating around. I think it's a good sign when people are interested in this kind of a thing. And that's a film that sells out every night. I had to actually try to see it twice because it sold out the first time I tried to see it. On a Sunday night, it sold out. So Outfox is out there as well. Of course, Fahrenheit 9/11, Control Room. It's a bunch. It's a whole bunch. So go out there and learn something. And don't just learn from one side. Learn from all sides and tell us what you find. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. We'd like to hear from you, regardless of where you happen to be. We don't discriminate. At least not in ways that we are aware of. So yeah, Fox News, fair and balanced. I don't know. What can you possibly say about that? Our address, as always, is otw@2600.com. Write to us with your thoughts, feelings, opinions, that kind of thing. Let's see what people have written in the last couple of days. Oh, this person's clarifying something that we said last week about the 1,000th death in Iraq. I was wondering how we suddenly catapulted up to 1,000 when we were somewhere in the 800s. Apparently, the 1,000th death in Iraq was referring to total coalition deaths, not just American. This listener was also surprised that this was reported. He had never heard that number quoted before. I guess when you hit 1,000, though, they suddenly jump up and say, milestone. If you want to call a place in celebration, we called Celebration Florida last week. And that, by the way, is in the film. Talk about coincidence. That's in the film The Corporation. There's a little feature on Celebration Florida. If you want to call a place in Celebration, click on the Market Street at Celebration link and then the Shopping and Services link. It lists a bunch of shops. My favorite is Neverland, where you can rent Segways. Isn't that the name of Michael Jackson's ranch, too? Anyway, you can rent Segways there. I imagine riding down Market Street on a Segway in December when it snows nightly. Must be one of the most surreal experiences imaginable. Signed, Matthew. I'm sure it doesn't really snow, right? It must be, what, they do like a Disney thing? Fake snow? Coming out of the lamppost or something? I've heard some spooky things out of that town. This, by the way, is a town that's owned and operated by Disney. Where you go inside a building and then you come out and there's a big parade happening and you come back out a couple hours later and there's no sign of it ever having occurred. Whew. And people pay to live in places like this. They really do. 631 WUSB. Whoa, I got that wrong. 631-632-WUSB. 631-632-9872. Let's see who's out there. Good evening, you're on.
Yes, can I talk with Manuel?
Yes, you're on the air right now, in fact.
Yeah, hi, guy. This is Rover in Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah, I'm listening to you on the net.
Great, how's it going over there?
Oh, pretty good. I'm going to do a little self-promotion. I've got a website that has your show and Off the Hook and a bunch of others if you are interested.
Okay, what's the site?
Okay, tinyurl.com.
Well, hang on, you're fading out. You're on a cell phone?
Yes, tinyurl.com.
Okay, tinyurl.com.
2HPN.
Okay, I think part of that got lost. You want to just repeat that part again? Tinyurl.com.
2H as in Henry.
2H.
5 Tom Nancy.
Okay, I got a 5 after that, and then you faded.
Tom Nancy.
Oh, Tom Nancy.
Right.
Got anything?
It's an Excel sheet.
Okay, I see it here. Computer shows online. Yeah, okay.
Go ahead and download the Excel. I've got links for the show name, station, IRC or Java chat, and also the audio.
Okay. That's great. Now tell us, what makes
your time?
What makes you do this? What makes you put all these shows online?
Well, keep everybody informed.
Uh-huh. And how do you try to keep people informed in your daily life?
Well, call and talk shows.
So do you call the talk shows as well?
Oh, yeah. I called probably 20 Saturday.
You called 20 talk shows on Saturday?
Approximately.
Wow.
It was Saturday and Sunday.
20 different talk shows.
Well, if you take a look at the Saturday list, there's a bunch of them.
Well, these are all shows that you've called?
Or have listened to. Some of them I haven't called.
Okay, well, there's a difference between that. How many call-in shows did you actually get on Saturday yourself?
Oh, it's I'm just looking here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
You actually got through to all those talk shows?
Right.
Well, I always thought it was a lot harder to get on the air.
No. You just, told them ahead of time saying, at least check it out before I, call in, or I'd like to call in on, with an email.
Uh-huh.
But, like I said,
I have to ask, what kind of phone are you using? It's cutting out.
A cell phone.
What company?
I don't know.
You don't know what company you're using. Well, it's cutting out a lot. So maybe are you driving?
No, I'm sitting in front of my computer.
Okay, maybe move away from the computer a little bit because that might be causing interference or something.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just wanted to toss you that link. We're in the chat room now.
What chat room are you in?
Say again?
What chat room are you in?
Off the wall.
Off the wall on irc.2600.net?
Right, I'm RoRevile.
Okay. Well, our listeners can join that channel just by opening up IRC, going to irc.2600.net as the server, and then joining channel, what is it, Pound Off the Wall?
Pound Off the Wall.
Okay. Of course, I won't be there because I'm here, and if I was there, I'd be all distracted. But, how many people are there now?
Let's see. 2 ops, 2, 4, 6.
Not bad. Considering we haven't promoted this at all.
With the Excel sheet, you can click on the IRC link. With your client program, it'll automatically take you to the channel or to the server and to the room.
Okay. And again, the URL for that is tinyurl.com/2h5tn, as in Tom Nancy. And tiny URL, of course, is a way of expressing a longer URL with very few letters. And you'll see when you type that in, hit return, you'll get the real URL. It's kind of a cool system, and it works. Any other thoughts on your mind?
Nope. I just wanted to pass that along. Thank you very much for letting me...
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for doing what you do.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care. I can't imagine calling that many call-in shows. I mean, I don't even call any call-in shows, but I can't imagine if I was to call a call-in show. I guess he was at it all day long or something. Wow. Well, hopefully this is the one he liked the best. Okay, and you know what? This happens every time. People call in while somebody is on, and then they give up. All right, we had a bunch of people calling in while that person was talking. I guess they thought, oh, Manuel's not going to take my call. Well, I would have taken your call. Your voice could be on the air right now. Instead, we hear that. We hear that instead. Because you didn't have the fortitude to stick with it. You make me sick. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. And we'd like to hear your opinions on all kinds of things, issues of the world, that kind of stuff. What else we got here? I listened to the previous episode of Off the Wall, was astounded by the state of the American school system, or in our case, A-Team School. A-Team was here last week talking about his school in Florida, where a student is deprived of the freedom of thought and speech of their own political ideals. All right, you know what? I'm going to take this call now and come back to this letter. Good evening. You're on.
Hey, I find it interesting that you were talking about corporations earlier. They have all these rights, yet the only punishment they seem to get is purely monetary.
That's true, and they can afford that. They pass that on to the stockholders and the customers.
And not only is it monetary, it's usually chump change, you know, $50,000, half a mil, when the revenues are in the billions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Why not have a death penalty or stop them from doing any business for a couple of years? Well, yes, it might hurt some workers, but if the company's killed some people,
That's how I felt after Union Carbide, you know, the Bhopal disaster, or after the Exxon Valdez, that these companies have lost the right to continue to operate. They should be stopped from doing that. Maybe they could open a bakery or something instead, but not that anymore. And you simply give... You don't have to even lose any jobs. You just give those jobs to a new company that's formed with new people, and everybody else who's responsible simply loses.
I mean, maybe an auction. You auction the company off, and you give them. You do whatever with the money that's left over. Maybe give some to the prior investors.
Mm-hmm.
Penalty.
Yeah, and you know these are the real criminals. I don't think Martha Stewart is a criminal as far as that kind of thing goes. I think she's just, you know, an uptight person who thinks she's bigger than everybody else, and I don't know. Sending her to prison, I don't think solves anything. But a lot of these executives who really have their hands dirty and are making tons of money and not caring at all about the environment and hurting things a lot more than they're helping, those are the people you need to go after.
Exactly. I just am pissed off that I don't own the records of my own bank account.
You don't own records of your own bank account?
No. When you have a bank account now, the bank owns the records. It used to be that you owned your own records.
Well, what does that mean? They own the records. They can do whatever they want with them?
Essentially, it means that if they want to share record transactions and anything, they don't have to ask you anymore.
They do that. In fact, if you have an unlisted phone number, the bank doesn't care about that because you have an unlisted phone number with the phone company, not with the bank. They will give your phone number out to whoever they want to.
I forgot what the rulings were, but 30, 40 years ago, that wouldn't happen. If they wanted to do anything with your records or the phone company or anything, that was your own private property, they had to ask you and then move forward.
Uh-huh. It's a travesty what has happened to our private information. And it is our private information, who we call, what we buy, how much money is in our bank accounts. That should all be private. But
yes,
it's not.
And now it's as the private people have gotten that information, it's all being sold back to the government, who can't compile this stuff,
mm-hmm.
have access to it. Well, it seems like no one's really cares if they get access to it through private means versus, you know, they have no right to this information, to gather this information, but they seem to have all the rights to get this information so long as they don't gather it.
Yeah. And then once you add in the whole, law enforcement and tracking down terrorism and things like that, it all starts to wrap itself up very nicely so they can keep track of just about everything we're doing and where we are and who we talk to.
Yes.
Scary times ahead.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Athens, Georgia.
All right. Well, I hope there's enough awake people down there that you don't go crazy trying to talk to kindred spirits.
Well, it's very weird because most of the people in town are extremely liberal.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the people are ultra, ultra conservative. Like the university here, you have your normal university liberal type people, but then there's a very powerful business school. So it's the whole thing winds up being skewed slightly conservative, which is really weird at a university.
That is kind of strange. But how is it as far as being able to express yourself? Do you find yourself being restricted in any way?
I find that whenever the administration tries anything, people stand up.
Mm-hmm.
but they've been cutting funds, and no one knows whether it's just typical budget cutting, or I frankly think that they're trying to knock the students off, trying to get them from making some decisions. But it's very hopeful here. I mean, people are fighting, and with the elections now, there were people on street corners going for their candidates. So it's fairly active.
That's what I think is important, is to keep it active and to not shut down any side. This is why that whole Linda Ronstadt thing offends me so much, because you see someone expressing an opinion and being shut down for doing that, as if that's some kind of a crime. And any side that does that, I don't care if it's the side I'm on or the side that I'm opposed to, that kind of thing is wrong. You just cannot do things like that.
Yeah, I was very surprised about that, her dedicating a song to Michael Moore would cause that. It would seem to be that someone in the hierarchy would realize that it would cause more trouble than it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine what they were thinking. I'm not sure if I'm hearing the whole story, if something else was going on. Maybe did she burn a flag on stage or something? Everything I've read, though, indicates that all she did was dedicate a song to him, and that outraged some of the, I guess, conservative members of the audience, who could not deal with somebody having a different opinion than theirs, and they went on a rampage, and the hotel freaked out and threw her out. You know, that kind of thing. You simply have to answer that with whatever it takes, either boycotts or pickets in front of the hotel or just more of that kind of thing, so they realize that you cannot shut down speech.
Yeah, I'm afraid that nothing will happen.
Yeah, it's Vegas after all. Nobody cares, I know. that's the theme of that town. If you're not gambling, nobody cares about you.
If no one can make money, they don't care.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. You know, it's like going to an amusement park, fine. After a day or so, you will start to lose your mind. And there are a lot of parallels between Disneyland and Vegas. So, yeah, okay, fine. It's a fun place to go. But, you know, there are people there. There are people there, real people who live there. And everyone has the right to express an opinion or be exposed to an opinion.
Yeah. I'm really happy for Michael Moore because, you know, there's at least one piece, even if you believe it's ultra-liberal BS, it's still, you know, that one piece versus all this stuff on Fox and the radio and, you know, TV. And the only news source I can watch anymore on TV is sometimes CNN International, but most of the time just BBC News on BBC America.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when they don't cut it to ribbons or have some decorating show on instead. When do you get CNN International? Just on the weekends, right?
No, I have Charter Digital, and Elton, I think it's in the 300s these days. I don't know. I got a TiVo.
Really? You can get CNN International during the week?
Yeah. It's an actual channel.
Okay, that's great, because here what happens is they run a channel called CNN-FN, Financial News, and then when that goes off the air, which is only on the weekends, that's when CNN International replaces it.
I think we get both. They just filled up the channel banks, and CNN International is one of the channels we get.
Okay, because that's definitely worthwhile. That's almost as good as having BBC, which, of course, nobody in the States has, unless you have your own dish to the heavens or get Canadian TV. One day, maybe we'll get it.
They have a thing online for a few bucks a month. If you're outside Britain, you can get it. They have a very good version of Real Player for
it. Yeah, you have to pay for it, but you can get it online. That's true. A lot of people don't want to run Real Player. But, you know, sometimes you have to get over these things. By the way, there's a good piece. It's somewhere on the BBC site. It ran last night on BBC World Service, the international radio service, about the Hope Conference. They interview a few people. I just happened to hear it. I was driving home last night, and I happened to be listening to one of the stations that rebroadcast BBC, and they played it. And it's just kind of cool to hear something about the conference that you were just at on BBC.
So. Yeah, I wish there was a camping conference in this country.
A what conference?
An outdoor camping type.
Oh, a hacker camp. Yeah. You know, one day maybe we can do that. The problem is the country is so big. Where do you go? You know, how do people get there? The thing is, at the CCC camp in Germany, you could get there by subway, you know? You could get there by the U-Bahn in Berlin, and yet you were still in the middle of nowhere because they don't have as much built up everywhere.
That's true, but if you factor in how much the hotel cost this year, that was one of the primary reasons I couldn't make it. I couldn't get enough people to where it was, you know, where it was possible. If you take, you know, a quarter of your hotel cost, put it towards gas or a rental car or whatever,
right?
It suddenly seems a lot more possible.
Yeah, it's true. And of course, with a camping event, there is no hotel to worry about, so costs go down for that particular expense anyway.
Well, I camp a lot at racetracks around the country for sports cars and historic and stuff. And your costs, you know, suddenly food costs go down.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, it basically becomes the cost of the event, gasoline, and about $10 a day for me.
Uh-huh. Which
is very doable.
The next hacker event supposedly will be taking place next summer in Holland, a camping event, and we'll give more information as we get it. But that's something to look forward to. It's definitely worth going to if you've never been to one of those things before. I can't stress the fun that it is if you do manage to make it over there. And it's not that expensive either.
And well, it might be something to look forward to.
Okay. Listen, thanks for your call, and keep the spirit up down there.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right. 631-632-WUSB. And good evening. You're on.
Oh, thank you very much for your show.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I wanted to inform of all of the people within your listening range that there will be a public hearing, and this concerns freedom of speech, and it will be next Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the town of Southampton. That's 116 Hampton Road in Southampton. And even though you may not live in that town, I ask that anybody in any town attend the meeting, write letters to the town board there, because we pay federal and state tax that goes into all towns, and so we have a right to speak up. But the public hearing is about a franchise agreement or contract with Cablevision. Now, quite interesting.
Yeah, I believe you talked about this a couple of weeks ago. So the meeting is next Tuesday at 7 p.m.?
Yes, and the thing is that they announced in the paper that you could come and inspect the franchise contract with Cablevision at the town clerk's office. However, only two-thirds of the contract is on file, ready to be inspected. They left out 35 pages.
Wow.
And so how can the public speak intelligently when they only have access to two-thirds of a contract with Cablevision? It's absolutely absurd. This is deceptive. It's stealthily done. In fact, they tried to do it in the town of Riverhead, but Riverhead realized this and had to cancel the public hearing and reschedule it and have the whole franchise agreement there so the public could see it. Now, the 35 pages that were left out are the ones, the rules that Cablevision uses for their public education and governmental access program.
Right. Can you just give us the time and date of the meeting one more time?
It's going to be next Tuesday at 7 p.m., town of Southampton, 116 Hampton Road, and you can call and you can write if you can't attend, because...
Do you have a phone number?
Yes, 283.
That's in 631?
Yes.
Okay.
83-6055.
Okay. Thanks very much for that information. It's good to have. Of course, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's good to be involved with these kinds of things, because access, that's what it's all about. We have access here at the radio station, but people need access in all forms, printed, TV, radio, movies. I'm going over that story, that Linda Ronstadt story, looking at the official Reuters version of it, and there's a bit more details here. Ronstadt, who had been hired for a one-show engagement Saturday night at the Las Vegas Strip Casino, dedicated a performance of Desperado to Michael Moore and his controversial documentary, which criticizes President Bush and the U.S.-led war in Iraq. That dedication angered some Aladdin guests who spilled drinks, tore down posters, and demanded their money back. According to casino spokeswoman Sarah Gorgon, we had quite a scene at the box office, she said. About a quarter of the 4,500 people in the audience got up and left before the performance had finished. And a statement issued by the Aladdin said Ronstadt had been escorted out of the hotel just after her performance and said the performer would not be welcomed back. Ms. Ronstadt was hired to entertain the guest of the Aladdin, not to espouse political views. How is dedicating a song to Michael Moore a political view? Not that there's anything wrong with expressing a political view. I mean, ugh. This annoys me so much. Okay, let me just finish off this letter because we're running out of time quickly, and a couple other things I'd like to get to. You also queried the state of Australian schools. Being a high school student in Australia, I can give you an answer. Students are allowed to freely express their ideas on politics and religion, even though we have a dress code and a uniform. One instance I had was a couple of weeks ago where a teacher and I discussed the state of America and Australia's involvement in the invasion of Iraq and the repercussions of this action. Another instance was last year when the Coalition of the Willing invaded Iraq. A group of students created a petition against the war, and this petition, which was supported by the school, and then later mailed to our moron in power... but the alternative war supporters were allowed to voice their opinions. I guess the freedoms granted to students depends what school you go to. And about Army recruiters. We talked about this quite a bit last week. Army recruiters in U.S. schools. Good God. In Australian schools, there aren't any. The only ones that came to my school were just two people last year in their uniforms and discussed the reservist army and the regular army. Nothing flashy, just a little PowerPoint presentation about being in the army and a Q&A. Sorry if I'm being biased here. I believe Australia is a great country as we are granted all these freedoms, even though we don't have a Bill of Rights in our Constitution, but it may not stay this way for long due to the times we are living in and the idiots in power. Fahrenheit 9/11 further opened my eyes to the distress the American government is in and how some citizens are blind to the actions of the government and believe whatever action the government takes, it is the correct one. Another interesting point is that 1984 is now existing in America, shown through how that guy voiced his opinion about Bush and the invasion of Iraq in the gym, which then led to him being reported to the Thought Police, the FBI. And there were demonstrators, that, by the way, from Neurologic, thanks very much for that letter from Australia. There were people in West Virginia who were arrested for wearing anti-Bush shirts at a pro-Bush demonstration. Yeah, can you imagine that? They got an apology today. West Virginia officially apologized to them for arresting them, which is good. But you see, these fights have to be fought. You have to stand up to this kind of thing, because the idiots that will arrest you for wearing a shirt criticizing a president because you happen to be in a pro-president area, those kind of people have to be shown that they are wrong. All right, and... another listener sends us this joke, because we're in dire need of jokes these days. A popular bar had a new robotic bartender installed. Okay, this does ride with it, all right? A fellow came in for a drink, and the robot asked him, "What's your IQ?" The man replied, 150. So the robot proceeded to make conversation about quantum physics, string theory, atomic chemistry, and so on. The man listened intently and thought, "This is really cool." The man decided to test the robot. He walked out of the bar, turned around, and came back in for another drink. Again, the robot asked him, "What's your IQ?" The man responded, 100. So the robot started talking about football, baseball, and so on. The man thought to himself, "Wow, this is amazing!" So then he went out and came back a third time. And as before, the robot asked him, "What's your IQ?" The man replied, 50. The robot then said, "So, are you going to vote for Bush again?" What would happen if I told that joke in a casino in Vegas? All right, get the tar and feather out. I'm sure they keep it in the back room somewhere. You know what I did yesterday for the first time? I've always wanted to do this. And, you know, I think everybody should always do whatever it is they've always wanted to do, because we're probably not going to be around much longer. The whole world's going to incinerate itself one way or another. So you might as well have fun now. For the first time ever, I always wanted to do this my entire life, I walked all the way around Central Park. Yeah, you know, you start at like 59th Street and 5th Avenue and you just go all the way up and over and then down the west side and over again. It's great fun. Took 2 hours, it's about, I think, 7 miles. You see a lot of things, a lot of really nice buildings, pass a lot of interesting people, see all kinds of statues. And you realize that despite the fact that you're in this huge city, there's all this parkland. There's all this space to just sort of hang around in. Now, keep in mind, I walked outside the perimeter. I didn't go inside at all. So I kind of avoided the entire park. But I did get a sense of how big the whole thing is. And I guess the next thing I'll try is just walking through it all in various sections. I mean, you know, it's really big. I know there are many people out there who explore the city in great detail. I'm sure there's all kinds of hidden nooks and crannies and places to go, and maybe we should document that as well. But yeah, let us know what your thing that you always wanted to do that you haven't gotten around to doing yet. Maybe this summer is the time to do it. I've got about a dozen more things like that, but it's only so many hours in the day. And this hour is just about gone. Where does the time go? Again, you can write to us, otw@2600.com, with all your thoughts, feelings, impressions, anger, outrage, whatever it is that comes to your mind. The important thing is to express yourself and not let yourself be silenced by anybody, regardless of how well-armed they are. OTW2600.com. It's Manuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. See you again next week. Assuming I'm not getting my head beaten in by cops up in Boston. We'll see.
Wondering why tuition has more than doubled since 1990? Angry at the lack of concern politicians have for youth issues? So are many students, but there is something we can do. Register to vote for November's election. We will be heard. And don't forget that if you are registered but have moved, you should re-register at your new address. For more information, contact NYPIRG at 632-6457. That's 632-6457 and online at NYPIRG.org. That's NYPIRG.org.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.